The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
The investigations and the hearings into the so-called storming of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. in the States on January 6th have been continuing this week. And my next guest has said the process could get very dark for former President Donald Trump. Mick Mulvaney is a former special envoy to Northern Ireland for the U.S. Mick, you're very welcome to the show and it's good to talk to you again. Why do you suggest things might get very dark for your former boss?
Yeah, Kieran, thanks for having me. A couple different reasons. There was some new testimony. A young woman who used to work for Mark Meadows, who was my successor as chief of staff, gave testimony on Tuesday on a variety of things that were sort of exposed for the first time. Number one, she testified that the president was aware that there were guns at the rally before he encouraged people to march on the Capitol. She testified that the president tried desperately to go to the Capitol during the riot in order to lead it or participate it or do whatever. She also testified that there was a direct communications link between some of the right-wing extremist groups and the chief of staff's office. That's Mark Meadows' office. Unclear as to whether or not it went any higher than that. And then also then at the very end, some hints that maybe there was evidence of witness tampering. All of those things are very serious in and of themselves. You put them together, and that's why I don't think I'm alone in saying it was a real dark time for a day for President Trump, and it could get worse before it gets better.
What do we know what the evidence is of all of those links, or have other people corroborated the story? Are other people expected to?
Yeah, and that's a great question. On the issue in the limousine, Ms. Hutchinson, the witness, said that the president grabbed the wheel and then assaulted one of the Secret Service officers. And the Secret Service has hinted that that's not accurate. They intend to come forward with some under oath testimony later this week or next to sort of clarify the record on that. No one else has come forward to deny or to counter the other evidence that the young woman gave. And that in and of itself is telling. Now, granted, this is a political hearing. It's not a court of law. It's not a criminal investigation. It's not being done by any law enforcement agency. It's being done by the Democrats in Congress. So I think you have to take that everything that you hear with a grain of salt. But the witness was not only a Republican, but worked in the White House for the chief of staff and was a special assistant to the president. So it was, like I said, a stunning development and probably the most dramatic turn of events so far in the hearings that the commission has undertaken.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting observation to make, that that no outright denial. You'd imagine if you're accused of wrongdoing at this level, outright denial would be your first port of call if it was absolutely untrue. So we'd have to wait and see how this develops. Has the former president himself said anything?
He has. He says he doesn't know who the young woman is and that she's a leaker. I used to laugh at the president when I worked with him, that I said, I don't know how you know she's a leaker if you don't know who she is. It's the standard sort of response, which is to attack the credibility of the witness, which is a valid undertaking in any investigation or court hearing or quasi-court hearing, to attack the credibility of any witness. So probably not surprising there. But what might be surprising is the absence of any affirmative statements to the contrary of what she said. No one has come forward yet and said, wait a second, I was there and I'm willing to testify under oath. The president had no knowledge that guns were present during that rally. And the same sort of non-existence pertains to the evidence regarding the connection with the right-wing extremist groups.
And when you say, you know, dark days ahead for the president, I mean, what's the import of all of this beyond political ramifications? Can anything happen if it is shown that, you know, he knew they had guns, he still encouraged them to go, he wanted to go there himself, there was a direct link to the Proud Boys or these other groups?
In theory, the answer is yes. In theory, he could be charged with a crime. He could be investigated for a crime. He could ultimately be convicted of a crime. I don't think that's going to happen. Keep in mind, much of the evidence that the young woman presented was hearsay evidence, which, while completely acceptable in a congressional hearing, would not be admissible in court. That being said, I really don't think the issue here is whether or not President Trump is going to jail. He's not going to go to jail. The question is, will this sort of testimony... I'm sort of testimony lead to political changes and having other people run against him in the primary in 2024?
So is there much public engagement, Mick, with the hearings?
There is, by people who don't like President Trump. Half the country is paying attention, half the country is not.
That's interesting. So there's no indication of the dial moving in terms of Republican support.
only within political circles, only within people who might be running for president. For example, like Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis, Tim Scott have all sort of watched this very closely and tried to determine whether or not there's an opening for them.
And within the party at large, I mean, what is the maybe the fear that Donald Trump or his supporters will have? Is it that you know, that there continues to be this kind of drip feed of information and the dial begins to swing, or the pendulum begins to swing the other way, and maybe those kind of reluctant Trump supporters, the people within the party who supported his policies and supported his platform and liked the fact that he was popular but didn't necessarily like the man, and they talked about kind of pinching their nose and voting for him or supporting him, that becomes just a more of an uphill challenge for them to continue doing so.
Yeah, no, I think you've hit the nail on the head, which is to say that people might look their hand over and say, you know what, I can vote for Ron DeSantis or Tim Scott or Mike Pompeo or Mike Pence and get the same policies without all the baggage. We may finally be reaching the place the Democrats had hoped we would reach a long time ago, which is sort of this everyone's just exhausted of Donald Trump. Don't think you're there yet, but certainly if the commission continues down its current road, you may see developments on that front.
And do you suspect that that's the ultimate hope of Democrats is actually that this just creates Trump fatigue amongst the body politic and amongst the public?
I mean, some of them want to see him go to jail. Many of them want to see him go to jail. That's not going to happen. I think many of them are hoping that whatever sort of stain attaches to Donald Trump will also attach to the Republican Party. I don't think that's going to happen. But if they set out to try to make sure he's not president again, they may succeed in that.
Mm. But I wonder, though, I mean, is there a school of thought within the Democratic Party that, you know, you want to go so far but no further? Let's really damage him, but not so much that he won't stand and he won't, you know, win the support of his party to run again. And then, you know, we have a better chance of beating him. I mean, what I'm asking is, would they prefer in a couple of years time be running against a wounded Donald Trump or a Ron DeSantis?
I think they'd given that binary choice, they'd rather run against a wounded Donald Trump. But that's a rational sort of conclusion. I think the hatred for him is so pervasive within the Democrat Party that if they really think they can you know, charge him with a crime now or think they can put him in jail now, they won't pull back in order to allow him to run and give them a chance to win in 2024. I think they just want to hurt Donald Trump as badly as they possibly can.
And has the incumbent, has Joe Biden, said anything about these hearings?
Yeah, that's a good question. Not much. Of course, the hearings will be conducted by Congress, not by the executive branch. The executive branch, by the way, would be the part of our government to bring charges. The Department of Justice is in the executive wing of government. So, but Biden has been very, very quiet, but it's not like there's been any shortage of things happening in this country. We just had Roe versus Wade overturned and the constitutional right to abortion is removed. There's a huge decision today on regulation and the environment. So, and of course he's over dealing with the G7, I think, in Europe. I can't remember if it's G7 or G20. I think it's the G7. So there's plenty of things to keep a president busy on any given day.
All right. Well, listen, Mick, we appreciate your time as always. Always an interesting conversation and great to get your insights. Mick Mulvaney, former special envoy to Northern Ireland for the United States, former chief of staff as well for Donald Trump for a time during his tenure in the White House. Mick, like I say, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.